taking a chance on this bastard. Ruthlessly, he stomped the corpse, grinding the thing under the heel of his combat boot until there was no chance it could regenerate. Satisfied for the moment, Ryan stood tall and glanced around. His next move was to find the others, and hopefully his backpack. But only low swells of sand with some patches of dry weeds were visible in every direction. Nothing else. Rubbing his chin, Ryan wondered how long he had been unconscious. Could the crab have eaten six other people, and he was simply the last? But checking his beard, Ryan decided it had only been a day or two. Nowhere near long enough, unless there was a hell of a lot more of these crabs. The sounds of the ocean came from several directions, and Ryan headed for the loudest waves. That should be the closest, and the beach was a logical place to start a wreck. At first, the going was slow, his wounded legs stiff and unable to carry his full weight, but the pain diminished and strength returned after only a few dozen yards. Reaching the crest of a dune, Ryan paused as his stomach loudly announced its emptiness with a long, sustained rumble. Yeah, it had to have been a while since that big meal had cooled. Harborville. Ryan searched his pockets for anything edible and found only sand. Turning, he glanced at the dead crab and saw that it was already covered with a flock of seagulls tearing the corpse apart with their needle-sharp beaks. The man touched his blaster, but then decided against it. Raw gull tasted like what he imagined used underwear would taste. He wasn't quite that hungry yet. Besides, he was down to the last full clip for the 6 hour. Best to save every round until absolutely necessary. If he didn't find his backpack, there might not be any more. Hobbling down the far side of the dune, Ryan found the tracks where he had been dragged into the weeds and followed the marks with his blaster firmly in hand. The dune was cut with a rain gully that ended in a fan of small rocks which extended across a pristine white beach. 100 or so feet away lay a lone figure sprawled on the sand. Long, flame-red hair covered the features, but the woman was wearing khaki coveralls, a bearskin coat, and blue western boots decorated with the outline of a spread-winged falcon. There was no question it was Christy Roth, and her chest rose and fell in a regular pattern. She was alive. As Ryan worked his way across the beach, a fat blue crab crawled into view from the other side of the supine woman and started dribbling white goo from its segmented mouth onto her right arm. In one smooth move, Ryan aimed and fired. The distance was 50 yards, but the soft lead slug slammed the crab off the top of her breast and sent it tumbling into the ocean. The mutie hit with a splash and sank out of sight, leaving a trail of green blood in its descending wake. Reaching the woman, Ryan checked her over quickly and was relieved when there were no signs of damage. He shook her shoulder. Her eyelids fluttered, then opened wide.
Christy, it's me.
Ryan?
Her long hair flexed and moved around her lovely face, as if the red filaments were endowed with a life of their own.
Alive and well, lover.
Christy tried to sit up and became instantly wide awake.
Gaia, what's wrong with my arm?
Drawing his knife, Ryan brought her up to date while cutting away the tacky goop. When he was finished, Christy pulled her arm free from the white residue smeared on her coveralls. The material stretched, but didn't rip. Rising carefully, she swayed for a moment, and then stood easily, her animated hair a wild corona in the breeze.
Any sign of the others?
She drew her blaster and checked the weapon. Safe in its leather holster, the SMW-38 revolver was undamaged, the stainless steel piece still shiny with oil. Cracking the cylinder, she ejected 4 spent shells and tucked them into a pocket of her bearskin coat before thumbing in fresh rounds. Without her pack, the woman was down to only 5 spare rounds for the revolver.
Not yet, but we can search for them later. Gotta find some shelter for the night. It's getting dark, and those crabs will be a triple bitch to waste in the dark.
Oh, could use some food, too.
Briefly, her hands checked pockets, but came up empty. not even a used piece of gum.
Got your canteen? Mine was in my backpack.
Ryan shook his head. Same here.
Gaia! Hopefully those washed onto the same island as us.
She remembered only a few days ago when their precious supplies had sunk into a shark-filled harbor. They had gotten them back, but at a terrible cost.
Hell, I'm surprised any of us survived that rocket attack from the PT boat. Got no idea how we stayed afloat in the water for so long.
Grunting in agreement, Christy looked along the beach in both directions. The clean white sand was perfectly flat where the waves reached. Not a footprint was in sight.
We could split up, go both ways and save time.
Trader always said never to divide your forces in unknown territory. We'll go 100 yards toward that dune, and if we don't find anything, we'll try the other way. Folks almost always turn to the right. Do it automatically if the herd are confused.
Brushing some loose sand from her shaggy coat, Christy studied Ryan for a moment, and then smiled.
Sounds good, lover. Lead the way.
The compact sand of the beach made for easy walking, in spite of Ryan's bad leg, and the couple reached the turnback point in only a short time. After glancing around, Ryan started back, when a motion in the sky caught Christy's attention.
Gulls! Might be circling a kill.
Probably only some dead fish, but we better check.
Ryan rubbed the wound on his thigh. It was throbbing now, but nothing he couldn't handle. Continuing onward, the man and woman went past a stinking pile of rotting seaweed. Just beyond that, the beach started to rise in irregular mounds of what they could tell were pieces of pre-dark buildings and broken sidewalks. Wreckage from Skydark. A fallen collection of marble and bricks blocked the way, and the pair was forced to wade waist-deep into the surf to get past. Both kept a sharp watch for crabs, but none were in sight below the foamy waves. Once back on the shore, Christy stopped in her tracks, and Ryan scowled as they saw the corpse of a gigantic spider sprawled in the wet sand farther down the beach. The mound of flesh rose more than 6 feet high, the splayed legs dangling loosely in the shallows. Its head was completely gone, the yellow and black body fur charred as if by fire, loose strips of flesh hanging off the gleaming white bones of an internal skeleton. And its entire length was covered with dozens of the blue crabs. Sharp pincers ripped away strips of the rotting flesh as the shelled scavengers steadily tore the spider apart. The skin writhed from endless motion inside the body, and a crab wiggled into view from the neck stump to pass out a glistening length of entrails. Some small crabs danced around the crowd of larger blues, occasionally darting forward to grab a morsel of food for themselves. The rest of the meat was being carried into the shoals by the bigger crabs. They disappeared beneath the waves, only to return moments later with empty pincers. Frowning deeply, Ryan saw that he had fought one of the small crabs. These new ones were huge and looked brutishly strong, their legs as thick as soup cans. He wondered if the companions had ridden the dead insect like a raft. Made sense. In a flash of white, a gull dove from the sky toward the ripe corpse, and a crab perched on the spider's back leapt into the air, slashing with both stingers. A spray of feathers went swirling, but the undamaged gull winged once more into the sky, crying loudly in frustration. They fought in teams, Ryan realized, and with assigned tasks. Just how smart were the creatures?
Too damn smart.
Christy was apparently reading his thoughts. Ryan studied the area for strips of cloth or human bones.
No sign of the others. Best we check the other side, just to be sure.
Thumbing back the hammer on her blaster, Christy started to walk inland to go around the feeding ground. Ryan limped along as best he could, but a couple of the smaller crabs scuttled over to investigate. Once they were in the weeds and out of sight of their brethren, Ryan dispatched the muties with his silenced pistol. Then Christy crushed their heads under her boots to make sure the crab stayed dead. The muffled crunches of splintering chitin caught the attention of the large blue patrolling on top of the spider, and its eye stalks extended fully to watch as the two legs traveled around the precious lump of food. Since they kept their distance and didn't threaten the hoard, the big male saw no reason to attack them, and continued its vigil against the winged predators in the sky. Stopping on the crest of the dune, Ryan and Christy could see there was nothing on the lee side of the huge corpse to indicate that any human had been slain by the crabs. but the lack of physical remains didn't raise any false hopes. It didn't mean the others were alive. It simply showed that their friends hadn't been chilled and eaten here.
Back we go.
Ryan walked